Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes this week's study. Welcome to the program today. All this week we have been involved in a study of Matthew chapter 24, which focuses on the last day's events. Thus far this week we have looked at the first five verses of the chapter, and in our study yesterday we focused on the false Christ which will rise up in the last days. Today I want to end the week by supplying you with some scriptures which will help guard yourself against false teaching in this day and age. One of the key passages of scripture which I'd like to look at is Jude verses 3 and 4, which read this way: "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." So here he says he needs to contend earnestly, and that word, it was used in competition, fighting for something. It was a military term where people would war, and it's obviously talking about battle, and we're to battle for the faith. Not my personal faith, but the faith, or the set of truth that we believe. And he says it was once for all delivered to the saints. So we're not having further revelations down the road, adding to the Bible, adding new doctrine. It was once and for all delivered to the saints. That's the truth, as recorded for us in the Bible, that we need to contend for and hold on to. Because he says in verse 4, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed." See, the false teachers creep into the church and distort true doctrine. It goes on to say, "Who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men." And this is what they do. They do two things. "Who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So their false teaching centers on two points: grace, as well as on the deity or the sovereignty of God. What they do is they turn the grace of God into licentiousness. The word licentiousness basically communicates the idea that you have a license to live any way that you want. So false teachers can be marked out by the fact that they turn moral issues and saying it doesn't matter how you live, or they distort grace by teaching legalism. Second of all, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow they distort the Trinity, or they distort the deity of Jesus Christ. Those are the two primary areas of attack, because if you distort those areas, you've distorted Christianity, you have distorted salvation, and it'll condemn people's souls to an eternal hell. So that's why they creep into the church and distort those two issues. And I believe those issues are being distorted today in the life of the church, today in many denominations who are going astray from the truth of the Word of God. And I think one of the marks in the day and age in which we are living in is the whole issue of homosexuality. And many churches, unfortunately, are buckling into the political pressure and pressure society to accept homosexuals into the body of Christ. And then even some of them went further and are allowing homosexuals to be ministers of the gospel. And I quote to you from a recent newspaper which says about the United Church of Christ, and I quote, "The United Church of Christ is the only major Protestant group to allow the ordination of active homosexuals." So here is a church that is proclaiming to be followers of Jesus Christ that allow the ordination of homosexuals. See, there comes to a point where the body of Christ needs to stand up and make a moral stance on what the Bible teaches. And here portions of the church are buckling into this false concept. We truly are at a point where people are creeping into the church and distorting the meaning of grace and turning it into a license for sin. Now, I want you to know that I do not only pick on the homosexuals. I don't have some sort of homophobic agenda, but it's an obvious issue within the body of Christ. Wherever there's a false teaching, I want to address it and address it with the scriptures. So I'm an equal opportunity false teacher basher. I'll bash whatever is obviously wrong and contrary to the scriptures. And the problem today that we're having in society is that the truth offends, especially when you stand up on a moral issue or stand against an immoral practice. It offends people, but so be it. The Bible is an offensive book. It confronts us where we're at. Oftentimes I read the Bible, and as 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and one of the things it's profitable for is correction. We need to be corrected. We need our life to line up with what the truth of the Word of God says. So there's moral issues that we cannot sit back in this day and age, but we need to contend for as to what the scripture says on these issues of morality. The second area would relate to doctrinal issues that relate to God, that relate to salvation, to relate to the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. And once again, quoting from the newspaper, which described a recent conference that the Presbyterian Church USA had. And this isn't all branches of Presbyterianism. The USA branch is more liberal than most. They had a conference, and it was entitled the Reimaging Conferences. And I quote, here's what the newspaper says about it: "A gathering last November that encouraged women to develop new concepts of God, redemption, church, and spirituality by using feminine imagery and experience. Speakers at the conference spoke flippantly about traditional Christian teaching. The conference avoided prayers in Jesus' name. Instead, they addressed God as Sophia, the Greek word for wisdom. And then when asked about the conference, the women at the conference gave the gathering high marks and stated it was spiritually stimulating. Let me also read from the paper that I take, which is the Orange County Register, dated Monday, November 1st, 1999. And here is describing how the Catholics and the Lutherans, or certain branches of the Lutherans, are coming together on the issue of salvation. The article was very interesting, and it reads as follows. Augsburg, Germany. Putting aside 5 centuries of differences in theology, Roman Catholics and Lutheran church leaders embraced at a service Sunday where they signed a declaration ending a dispute over salvation that sparked the Protestant Reformation. The 700 guests at Augsburg Lutheran Church of St. Anna's and more than 2,000 observers in a tent nearby watched, applauded, and hugged one another as officials from two bodies stated that both churches believe that salvation of individual Christians is justified by God's love alone, not by human effort. From the Vatican, Pope John Paul II welcomed the signing as a milestone along a difficult path full of joy, union, and communion among Christians. During the Augsburg service, Bishop Christian Kraus, president of the Lutheran World Federation, also spoke of the agreement's importance. For the first time in centuries, we are walking on common ground together, Kraus said. Then it goes on to describe the actions of Martin Luther. It says, Martin Luther set in motion the Protestant Reformation on the same date 482 years ago when he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, protesting the practice of selling indulgences to help believers gain forgiveness of sins. The dispute centered on the question of how to get to heaven. Catholics believe that people's actions can make a difference, while Lutherans believe salvation is based on faith alone. After 30 years of consultation among theologians, the two sides announced in June that they would sign the agreement to unite their beliefs on justification. And here is one of the things that they stated. By grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving work, and not because of any merit, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping and calling us to do good works. These two groups basically agreed on the statement that salvation has its ultimate root or source in the grace of God. Well, that's really not saying much, because the Catholics believe that salvation is by faith plus works. They say, well, ultimately, yes, it comes from the grace of God. These groups really haven't agreed upon anything. They've just really decided to set their differences aside. And to make it fair, this is only part of the Lutheran Church. The group that signed this agreement was part of the Lutheran World Federation. Now, the Missouri Synod of the Lutherans did not agree with this, and the article does quote a Reverend Dr. A.L. Berry, president of the Missouri Synod. He argues this, the following, and it's quote, the joint declaration is an ambiguous statement whose careful wording makes possible for the Pope's representatives to sign it without changing, retracting, or correcting anything that has been taught by the Church since the 16th century. Among problems with the document, the Missouri Synod maintains, is that the joint declaration fails to define clearly the word grace. And I like what Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 6. He says, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. You can't mix work and grace and still come up with the idea of grace. And so those of the Missouri Synod of the Lutheran Church hold and affirm the historic Christian faith. So you can't lump all the Lutheran churches together, just as you can't lump all Christians together in one group and say we all believe the same way. But what we have here is mainline, quote-unquote, Protestant denominations that are not contending for the faith, which was once and for all delivered to the saints, but are abandoning it. And I sound the warning call to go out now that we need to be students of the Bible, students of the scriptures, to be able to discern truth from error, that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes into the church. Now, the last scripture that I want to direct us to is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. What I want to state to you is you don't have to worry about false teachers leading you astray if one thing takes place. And look what it says there in verses 9 and 10. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. Now listen to this. Among those who perish because they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. The source of people being deceived is that they do not have a love for the truth. I want to exhort you not to just be someone that'll go to church or read your Bible occasionally from time to time, but to be a student of the Word of God, to be a studier, to analyze everything that people would say in the church, on the TV, even me on the radio here that you're listening to go back to the Word, because that's our final authority. If you build your life upon that solid rock, it doesn't matter what's going to come. The storms are going to come and go, but you're going to be able to stand because you've built yourself on solid ground, the solid ground of the person of Jesus Christ and of His Word. And I do exhort you to be a student of God's Word, to be a studier. And that's the reason for this program, to help equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to teach them the truth of God's Word. And my heart's desire is to help people learn the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons that I continually offer the correspondence courses that I do here on the radio, because I believe they're good, they're solid. They focus on doctrine and the study of the Bible and how to study the Bible. And if you would like to learn more about the correspondence courses that we offer or about receiving tapes that we've done on the various studies here on Solid Ground, you could call us at our new toll-free number, which is 1-877-941-LAMB. Or you can get the same information on our website, which is at www.calvarylm.org.